Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddham dhammam sangham namassami. So what's the biggest obstacle to present moment awareness? What do you think? No thinking. What do you know?
Thinking.
Yeah, it's a big one. This is from Dzogchen tradition. Do not plunder the mystery with concept. The other part of that is, dwell instead in intrinsic emptiness. Dwell instead in intrinsic emptiness. So I have resistance to concepts and explaining concepts. But we do rely on words to communicate. How do we talk to each other without words? But when we speak to ourselves, we don't need the words, really. We just need to go beyond the words into the silence. And it is intrinsically empty. So one of the very big obstacles is doubt, isn't it? Because doubt comes from thinking. We have a moment of silence, and then a thought comes, an expectation, a worry. But there's a lot to know about right now. Where are we? What is the condition of the mind right now? There's time, concept, many concepts, planning the future, regretting the past, being involved with time. But inside the heart, there is a space which we don't create. We don't do anything to it. It's just present. It's presence. It's there. We don't have to name it. As soon as we name it, maybe then the mind will start thinking about, how should I name this? But if we go into that activity, we're already plundering the mystery with concept. Plunder is like a robber, a thief, comes from behind and steals our attention from the depth of the heart, from just pure love, pure presence, ever transcending. And then a thought comes and cuts it, divides it, stretches it, shrinks it. But there's nothing we can do to this mystery. That's the beauty of it. The thinking mind doesn't have access to that. So to dwell in its intrinsic emptiness, infinite, not to fill it with our concepts, not to dress it up as anything. The radiance and refuge of the Buddha's proclamation that there is this Dhamma, and it is a safety, a shelter. I think in our deepest, darkest moment, if we have that kind of shelter, we can dwell there. We can drink from that. We can be nourished by it. Each one of us has access to that. Not necessarily by counting breaths or following a technique and trying too hard, but perhaps by noticing when there are intruders. You know there's a jewel, so to stand guard and keep the intruders out is the openness of the heart to receive the mystery of it. All these hindrances which prevent us from sitting quietly in a receptive way without getting lost in any direction, lost in this, lost in that, lost in the past, lost in the world, lost in desire, greed, hatred, delusion, anxiety, restlessness, doubt. But to notice the intruders and penetrate beyond them, beyond all that. That which they come from is always present. So the intrinsic emptiness is where all is arising. It arises and ceases there. So if we have enough faith to trust the present moment and linger in it, dwelling in safe refuge, to sit with that content within. If you've ever sailed a boat, you know how sometimes the boat will just list to one side. But it's not going to fall over. It's just listing, like bending into the current or the wind. And I think of that as a boat. If we can imagine we're like a boat in the sea of this emptiness. And we listen. We list like a relaxed sailboat. And we list in it. It's listening. We just listen. Listening, the ear, the hearing. So powerful. There's no thinking in just hearing. It's a boundless ear, like radar. And it's silent. Nothing. That's its nature. As soon as we add a filament of a word, a description, we've moved away from listening. Just to be with that, isn't that the purest love of all? To just offer our heart like a big, giant ear. That vibrates in the emptiness of the ocean within. There's not much to do, really. But it's a jewel to be protected, which is why we seclude ourselves. This monastic place is a symbol of inner seclusion. And the world comes in. It's symbolic of the way our five senses interact with our environment. It's an in and out relationship always going on. coming, going, sounds, smells, tastes, touch, sensations, sights, oh, how much distraction we are involved with. But this interior dwelling is where we can experience undistractedness. There's no thinking. It's just pure present awareness. Undistracted. Empty. But the emptiness is full. And the fullness is empty. So one cannot name this as anything. But we feel it intuitively. We feel that and we love that. It's beyond compare with any worldly experience. Therefore, it is a treasure. This treasure is the Dhamma. Not to plunder that. It's for each one of us to come to this space within us in our own way, in our own time. Listen in gratitude and contentment. Be present, totally present. That's a generosity to the heart. Because if we're present, we can care for the moment. People always think, when they don't know about this form of practice or teaching, they think that we don't do anything. But when we care for the mind, we really care for it in this way, then what we bring forth from within is the most precious gift that we can give to ourselves and each other. And that is unconditional love. Unconditional compassion. Boundless. It's like the sun. It doesn't choose to shine on one country and not on another. Only on elephants and lions, but not on humans. No, in every direction. Boundless joy. We can drink from this mysterious presence. It feeds and nurtures and expands our capacity for love, kindness, and compassion. Unconditional peace. We are no longer judging, divided. We're unified. We're no longer fragmented, broken. We're whole. As much as we want to pamper the body, prevent it from sickening, from deteriorating, it's futile. It's care for the mind, opening to this mystery, allows the greatest health within this beingness, this living form that we think we are. We're not the form, but what it carries, the flame of truth, burns much more brightly within when the heart is free. So when we resist, or when we've learned not to plunder this mystery, we can gain the truest health of all, just by knowing what we truly are. Then the healing of our spirit, our energy, our mental strength is perfected. body can do its dance, it will crumble and turn to dust. But that pure presence, that mystery that we have touched, is unsullied, it is the deathless. It is fearlessness, deathlessness. It's consciousness, pure. We can never actually plunder it. You cannot damage that. But we damage our ability to know it. With our concepts, with our wanting, with egoness, selfishness. These are the ways that we want to avoid and be protected from so that we can fully know that which is to be known. We are here embodied in this universe, but here in this form, in this way, right now, to do just this. This is our work, to be able to listen and rest in awareness in this way, for us to give attention where it is most valuable. Then we can give generously. We can love each other generously, selflessly, sweetly. The Buddha says, as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child. Therefore, we have precepts, practices. Just like a train has rails to travel on. We walk in virtue for this purpose, just awakening. Waking up to the present moment is not difficult, but to sustain that is more involved. To commit to sustaining that. So we stay here. We stay with difficult conditions, with easeful conditions. It's always changing. But the one constant is our trust in this awareness that knows the mystery within is there for us. We shelter in it until the heart opens enough to really see more clearly the truth of it. And then that spurs us on further until we know a joy, a wisdom that is for all. And the heart no longer struggles with all the currents and cyclones of life. It really depends on which way we point our compass. Going out into the forest when there's snow, everything is white. It's easy to get lost. But if we use our BPS, our Buddha's positioning system, we always know to return to this mystery. Not to plunder it with our ideas, but to dwell in its intrinsic emptiness, moment by precious moment. And the more we nurture ourselves in this way, naturally, the gates to the deathless will open for us. It's a matter of trust. How much can we trust? And spiritual companionship is 100% of the path. So we're very grateful you would all come to share this precious Dhamma with us, chanting our praises, sitting quietly, listening. What does the mind bring forth? Whenever it lies, we just say no. Doubts come, just say no. Just know the doubt for what it is. We tell it, no, no, not here, sorry, bye. And then they can't feed on this mind. When we do that, they might come. No, not interested. Because this depth of the mystery is so profound, it overshadows all these other noises that habit and conditioning create. When they're ignored, they eventually give up. That's the beauty of it. But in the meantime, we're watering the flowers of awakening. And that's what we should be doing. Great to be doing that. To be present for that which is here. It's here. It's not out there. It's not in anyone else. And it's not in some future anything. It's here now, fully. But if I'm not pure enough to know that, then that's the obstacle. So it's about removing obstacles and being generous with attention rather than getting anything. Is to give our love, our full heart to this life, to each other. And there's certain mental food which is so naturally nutritious, and this awareness is just that. It's so simple. And a lot of me and mine, it takes us away from the universality of this present awareness is pure.